Good evening and welcome to the Central Baptist Church Bible Study. This is April the 1st, 2020 on a Wednesday evening. And tonight we're actually going to be looking at passages out of Mark chapter 5. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn on over there with us to Mark's Gospel chapter 5. This past week, our Bible readings were actually Mark chapter 3 through Mark chapter 7. And tonight we're going to spend a few minutes just looking at some passages in Mark chapter 5 concerning the man with the unclean spirit. And before we do, let's have us a word of prayer. Father, you're good to us. We thank you for this opportunity to be able to gather, even though we're not actually allowed to gather together in person. It is a privilege that we have an opportunity to be able to gather through technology. Lord, we've always known that that the body of Christ doesn't have to do with the building, but it has to do with the people who know you and who love you. Lord, we anxiously await the day we'll have the opportunity to gather again in your name in person. But for now, we're praising you and thanking you just for the opportunity to be able to meet in the fashion that we are. So bless each and every person, Lord. Keep us safe and healthy, and bless our time tonight around your word as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're looking at Mark chapter 5, the man with the unclean spirit. If you've got your Bible, again, we're going to be reading from Mark chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, and it reads like this. It says, "Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes, and when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him of the tomb a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, neither could anyone tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me.' For he said to him, 'Come out of the man, unclean spirit.' Verse 9, then he asked him, 'What is your name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' Also, he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Now a large herd of swine was feeding there in the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, 'Send us to the swine that we may enter them.' And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirit went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine, fled, and they told it in the city and the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they began to plead with him to depart from their region. And when he got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, 'Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you.' And he departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him. And all marveled." You know, when we look at this particular passage concerning this demon-possessed man, you know, we're told of a man who had an unclean spirit. And when you begin to think about that, when you talk about an unclean spirit, a little bit later in that passage, it talks about how they referred to him as a man who was demon-possessed. And we're going to talk a little bit further about that in just a few moments. But there's something I wanted you to see there. And that was the power that the demons, and I'm going to use that as plural, you'll understand that in a moment as well. What kind of power these demons had over this particular man? I mean, when we look at it, you know, particularly there in down around verse 5, it says this. It says, And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying out and cutting himself with stones. And so this was a demon or demons that were within this man that were that essentially had taken control over him. You know, we read in other places in the Bible where it talked about how, you know, the demons had taken control over a particular person. One we remember that was a man's child, and it said that often it would throw him into the fire. So these demons really had had some control over this man, and it was a rage-type control. Because if you look at it, and it talks about the scriptures tell us how that he couldn't even be bound by chains. It said that he would break the chains. He was able to get himself free. Obviously, society didn't want to be around him. He didn't want to be around society in any way. And when you think about this, in a circumstance such as that, this man pretty much had no control as he saw it in and of himself, because these demons actually were controlling him. He didn't have all of his faculties about him. And it also says in the Word down here in verse 7, it says this, it says, and he cried out when he saw Jesus. Let's go to verse 6. It says, when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. Now, a lot of us would look at that particular passage and sit back and think, well, you know, this is a guy who understood, you know, who Jesus was and understood that there could be healing. But I want you to understand who's talking. It's almost kind of like a split personality thing. You know, when you think about this passage, was it the man who ran out to actually meet with Jesus and to see him? Or do you think that it was the demons who were controlling this particular man at the time? Now, once again, let's go back to verse 6, because he says, and when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. Now, that sounds like victory. That sounds like, you know, something that works, sitting there taking into consideration and thinking Jesus is going to do something incredible, which he does. But look at verse 7. We start to see what conversation is had. It says, and he cried out. Now, he being the man who is demon possessed, it says, and he cried out with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. So again, we're talking about who is it that the conversation is with. Is the conversation with the demon-possessed man in his right mind, or when the demon is controlling it? I think verse 7 answers that question for us, because verse 7 says, and he cried out with a loud voice, and he says, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me. Here's your answer. For he said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. So what we start to see here is some dialogue that Jesus is actually having with the demons that are possessing this particular man. Verse 9 says, then he asked him, what is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Notice we is a plural term, meaning more than one. So we know that according to verse 9, that what's taking place is that the demons are the ones who are actually speaking through the man to Jesus, and Jesus is having this conversation with the demons. So Jesus asked him, he says, what is your name? You didn't hear that it was John or Mark or John Mark or any of the names that you know of from the Bible, but rather the answer is, my name is Legion, for we are many. So he says in verse 10, it says, also he begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. So it's interesting that when this man went to have this conversation with Jesus, those demons already knew and identified who Jesus was. They also knew that Jesus had power over them. He had the power to banish them from the man. He had the power to banish them from the country. He had the power to have them essentially bow at his feet. And these demons knew this. So when the meeting takes place, essentially when Jesus tells them, you need to come out of this man, they're asking Jesus essentially not to be sent out of the country. They know they're going to be leaving this man because Jesus has commanded them to do that. And he says, they're begging him, please don't send us out of the country. In fact, the demons saw this large herd of swine feeding in the mountains. And in verse 12, it says, so all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. Now, the passage also goes on and it tells us that essentially the demons came out of the man. They went into the swine, and it says that the swine all ran over the hill, essentially to their death as they drowned into the sea. And it's interesting what we begin to see, how the reaction of what had happened and what took place. It says that once those pigs ran over the hill and drowned in the sea, those that were watching the flock went back and told about what had happened. And verse 15 says, then they, meaning those that had seen, had heard what had happened, came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon possessed and had the legion sitting clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. You realize that people had seen this man and they knew who he was. He was kind of the talk of the town. It was like, if you ever go in that area, here's a guy that you want to be careful of because he's not in his right mind. He is demon possessed. Nobody can do anything with him. We can't chain him up or anything. So when they show up on the scene, they're expecting to probably see this guy in his old state, pretty much out of his mind, because that particular verse says when they saw him, they found him sitting clothed and in his right mind. And because of what they saw, they were afraid. In other words, they didn't look and say, wow, that was pretty good that this man seems to be healed. It's pretty good that it seems that Jesus has done something spectacular in his life. No, what it did was it created a fear within them. And then it says, and those who told them what happened, verse 16, and those who saw it told them how it happened to him who had been demon possessed, and about the swine, and they began to plead with him to depart from their region. I mean, when you really think about that, Jesus has done something incredibly great in this man's life. This is a man who is now in his right mind. This is a man who could probably get on with life. It's a man who probably has family who would love to see him. And really, instead of being happy for him, they were afraid about what Jesus had done. And their response to that was they wanted Jesus to get out. You know, please pack your stuff and move on. We don't need this kind of thing going on here in this area. So Jesus was going to oblige them. In verse 18, it says, and when he got into his boat, the one who had been demon possessed begged him that he might go with him. You know, this man knew what Jesus had done in his life. This man knew the powerful thing that Jesus had done to deliver him from the demons, and he wanted to be with him. He wanted to follow Jesus. Strangely enough, one of the things that we have been talking about for so many months now has been discipleship. And what does it mean to be a disciple? A disciple is one who follows Jesus. This man literally wanted to follow Jesus. This man literally wanted to learn from him, but he got what would seem to be a strange answer from Jesus. Let's look again at verse 18. It says, and when he got into the boat, he who had been demon possessed begged him that he might be with him. Verse 19 is the answer. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. Do you see what Jesus wanted this man to do? Instead of coming along and going with him, Jesus wanted this man to go to his friends and to his family and to the people that he knew and tell them what Jesus had done. Jesus wants the same thing for you and I. Jesus has done great things in your life and in my life. I love the fact that I share this with folks of our church very often when we talk about being a witness, and Jesus wants us to be a witness to the uttermost parts of the earth. And if you look at it in a concept and a definition that we know, to be a witness means to testify. Like if you're in a court of law and you think about being a witness, and what you're going to testify to are the things that you personally have seen and you personally have heard. You can't testify for somebody else. A court of law actually calls that hearsay, and it's not admissible. The only thing you can testify to are the things that you personally have seen and that you have personally heard. So Jesus tells us to go be a witness. He wants us to go out and share with people the things that we have seen him do in our life, the things that we have heard that he has done along the way, things that we have personally experienced. You know, as we head into the Easter season, you know, one of the things that's often talked about is Thomas, who's often nicknamed Doubting Thomas. I've said so many times that we need to cut Thomas a little bit of a break because, you know, Thomas in reality didn't just want to believe what everybody else had been telling him. Thomas wanted to see it for himself to be able to believe it. Doubting Thomas was not called Doubting Thomas after he had the opportunity to touch the nail-scarred hands of the Savior because he had experienced firsthand Jesus Christ. And I believe that's what God wants for each and every one of us. He wants us not to take everybody else's word for what's taken place or everybody else's word for what's happened. He wants us to experience his love. He wants us to experience his compassion and his mercy and his grace in our lives so that we can truly testify to the things that we have seen, the things that have been done in our life. Jesus had done some incredible things in this man's life. He had healed him from demon possession. And instead of just staying there with Jesus, Jesus told him in verse 19, go home and go home to your friends. Tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he had compassion upon you. Why would Jesus want this man to go tell people that so that they too could experience the love and the compassion of Jesus Christ? It says in verse 20, it says, and he departed and he began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled. As he went around, he was telling people, he said, I used to be the guy that was sitting in the cemetery, the guy that people called crazy, the guy that was chained up and shackled up. And, you know, I couldn't even deal with myself. Those demons tormented me day and night to the point where I would sit there. I would cut myself. I had no control of my body or anything else until one day Jesus passed by. Folks, I want to tell you today, Jesus is passing by. The same thing he did for this demon-possessed man, he will do for you and he will do for me. We serve the same God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he wants to deliver you. I know oftentimes we use a term that we have some demons in our lives, or we're dealing with some demons in our lives. Well, I can promise you today that if you're dealing with those demons in your life, Jesus wants to deliver you. And like this man, you can run to the presence of the Savior. And when you do, even evil will fall at his presence. Jesus, all by a simple command, can drive them away. My question is, are we walking close to Jesus? Or are we like Peter during the trial of Christ, following from afar? What a challenge that you and I have out of Mark chapter 5 from the man who had been healed. I know for me, when I trusted Jesus Christ, my sins were washed away. I was healed. And God has done some incredible things in my life. Today, I'm about going place to place and being able to share what it is that God has done in my life that I personally have experienced, I personally have seen, I personally have heard, I have personally been a part of. And that's what he wants us to do. Just like what he told this man here in Mark chapter 5, he said, I want you to go out and I want you to tell your friends about me. I want you to tell your friends what I have done in your life. I don't want you to share Roy's story. I don't want you to share your mama's story or your daddy's story or your brothers or your sisters. I want you to experience me on such a level that you will be able to share your story with excitement. In fact, as we read in the New Testament, when we follow the Lord and we're seeing him and experiencing him doing things in our lives, we cannot help but tell people. We're excited about it. You know, witnessing shouldn't be one of those situations where you go, oh man, I got to go out and tell somebody about Jesus today, or something that we can check off in a box. It should be something that we're so excited about that we can't wait to go out and tell people what the Lord has done in our life. You know what? If you're sitting there tonight and you're listening to this, then I want to just simply ask you this. If you're not sure exactly what God's done, I want to get you to start counting your blessings. I want you to start thinking about the family that God's given you. He's blessed you with a great family, or the job that he's given you. Thank him that he's kept you healthy and safe through this particular time of pandemic. There are so many things that we can do to begin to count our blessings. And I can promise you this, it is because of the hand of God in your life that he's done those particular things. So why don't we go out and share those things with others? And just like this man that we're looking at that had the unclean spirit, we need to understand the power of our Savior Jesus Christ. We want to draw close and we want to experience Him in such a fashion that we're excited to be able to go out and share God's love with all of those that are around us. That was the marching orders that the Lord had given for him in the midst of one of the greatest things that had ever happened in his life. Before we pray, I want to go ahead and give you what the passage is for next week, or what the daily Bible readings are going to be for April the 8th. The April the 8th passages that you can read to kind of stay up with things, it's going to be Mark chapter 8 through Mark chapter 12. That's Mark chapter 8 through Mark chapter 12. And once again, I will post this on our private Facebook page so that you'll have a lesson you can follow along. We simply ask you just read one chapter a day and then be able to come together with us at this particular time next week. We're actually going to be dealing with the passage out of Mark's Gospel chapter 10, and that is Jesus teaching us on being a servant. We pray that you will join us as we learn from the Word of God, and as we take these moments to continue to do our midweek Bible study. I also want to just give you a little reminder today. I actually wore my Awana shirt to be a constant prayer reminder to pray for our Awana children and families, as we're not able to be able to gather together in person. We still have a few irons in the fire that we need some answers for in regard to our Easter Sunday service, but we still will have our video service coming to you this Palm Sunday, which is just a few days away, actually. And know that in the meantime, we're praying for you. If there's anything Central Baptist Church can do to help you out, please let us know. We're only a phone call away. Our offices are still open during regular office hours, which are Monday through Thursday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., and we trust and pray that God is going to continue to bless you richly, and that we'll take the time to learn some incredible things that God wants to teach us in this time of pandemic. Draw close to your family. Draw close to Him. Pray for His protection. Pray for His safety, and be God's people who are called by His name, who repent and rally around to watch God do something so incredible nobody will be able to take credit for it. Let me have a quick word of prayer with you, and I will be looking forward to meeting you by way of technology once again this Sunday morning. Let's pray. Father, you're good to us. We ask that you would just be with us. Help us as we ponder these particular scriptures in the book of Mark. Lord, as we think about how you healed this man from the unclean demon. Lord, I know there are things in our lives that we feel like we just have no control over. There are people listening to this message tonight that feel like things are just completely out of control. But Lord, you are the one who can take control. Even the demons will bow down at your name and bow down in your presence. So Father, we ask for mercy and compassion. We ask for your grace. We ask for protection during this time of trial until we can meet again. Lord, help us to be about your business, and as your word says, that we might truly occupy until you come. And Father, we do pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday.